We will open the Word of God together in Zechariah chapter 4. And in verse 10, the question stands, "For who hath despised the day of small things?" Who hath despised the day of small things? The exiles who had returned from Babylonian captivity to Jerusalem, they faced numerous overwhelming difficulties. They were few in number. They had scant and meager resources from which to rebuild the temple, the house of God. The first steps they took in the reconstruction work seemed futile, insignificant, and bound ultimately to end in failure. It was a day of small things. Many concluded that it would all come to nothing. Though the foundation was laid, they maintained little more would be added to the structure. So discouragement, despondency was on every hand and in every heart. You and I have the tendency too to frown on the insignificant, that which is large, growing, expanding, impresses us. We have adopted the ideology, big is beautiful. Men build bigger and better roads, bigger and better aircraft. We are fascinated with that which is big. It was a day of small things in Zechariah's time. And the same must be said of the Lord's work today. There are few giant strides being taken today, few branches in the Lord's vineyard that run over the wall. There are not many sheaves being gathered into the gospel garner, sadly, in our time. The powers that be, they ride roughshod over the things that are godly, that are right. God's truth, the light of His Word, is disregarded, cast to the side. Like Zechariah and Zerubbabel, we are in a day of small things. But the Lord had this word for His people, and it is applicable. It's a word for our own hearts. We want to look at our text then in three ways. First of all, considering together the contempt of the day of small things. Our text reads, "Who hath despised the day of small things?" The word despised, it reflects an attitude of contempt. Here is a state of mind which views a situation, a circumstance, and counts it of little value. The people looked on those tentative steps taken to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem, and their hearts failed them. They said to themselves, "What's the use? It's all a waste of our time, effort, and energy. The foundation of the temple was so insignificant in the eyes of those who had looked at the glory of the original building. They wept with a loud voice over the comparison. It's so far short of the original structure," they said, "it will all come to nothing." The enemies of the people of God were not far away. They were at hand, and they poked fun at their efforts also. If you go back to Nehemiah chapter 4, we have the record in the opening verses. It came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, "What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned?" Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, "Even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall." What a torrent of abuse and ridicule. Sanballat and Tobiah, these enemies, they united in despising the Lord's work. So friend and foe looked on it as a day of small things. God's people were discouraged. Their feeble efforts and the seemingly insurmountable obstacles were all around them, and the enemy was gloating over their apparent weakness. All enemy and friend were despising the day of small things. That's a prevailing tendency with us. We're apt to lose heart, to be discouraged, to wring our hands in despair when the fruit of all our efforts amounts to little in our estimation. If our field of service is restricted, we tend to frown on it and say, "What's the use? What's the purpose?" D.L. Moody, conducting a Sunday afternoon meeting, he noticed a Sunday school teacher present who at that time ought to have been conducting her class. Afterwards, Mr. Moody asked her what had happened. And she explained. She said, "Mr. Moody, I went to the room and found only one little boy. And so I closed the class. I came away." "Only little boy," said Moody. "Think of the value of one such soul." "The fire of a reformation," said Moody, "may be slumbering in his heart. There may be a Luther, a Knox, a Wesley, or a Whitfield in your class." We have a contempt for the day of small things, and that ought not to be the case. Consider how God does not despise the day of small things. Think of God's hand in nature. From the tiniest seed, God brings out the flower clothed with a beauty superior to the king's refinery. From the little acorn, God causes the mighty oak to grow. The fast-flowing river, full of water from bank to bank, at its commencement, it's just a tiny, insignificant trickle. In many periods of history and God's work, it has been a day of small things. If you look back to the days of Noah, Abraham, the prophets, Elijah, we find the true worshippers of God were so few as to be signs and wonders in the age and in the nation in which they lived. Didn't Elijah say, "I, even I only, am left"? He saw himself as the only one standing for the Lord. When the Lord exercised his earthly ministry, the number of his disciples was no more than 120. And even now, they are few in comparison with those who serve Mammon. The people of God today are a little flock who walk in an unfrequented and narrow way. The Lord said in Matthew 7 and verse 14, "Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." God doesn't despise the day of small things. And we know how God used little things. Think of the tears of the baby Moses, how they moved the heart of Pharaoh's daughter to pluck him from that ark of bulrushes. Think of how God used the sling and the stone in the hand of the shepherd boy to bring down the mighty giant. Samson, with the jawbone of an ass, he slew 1,000. Who was it that God took up to propagate the gospel to the ends of the earth? It was unlettered fishermen. They were God's instruments. We read there in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 of those whom the Lord takes up and uses. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 26 onwards. "Ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, and yea, things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence." Far from despising, God uses. He takes up the small things. And so you and I ought not to frown on the day of small things. We should look at the potential of it to accomplish great things for the Lord's name. The contempt of the day of small things. But then secondly, let us consider the challenge of the day of small things. The words of our text amount to a challenge to press on in the work of the Lord, to let not our hands be slack, but be filled with labor and earnest endeavor. Oh, it was not the will of God that these returned exiles sit down amid the ruins, the rubbish, and despair of ever accomplishing anything. God did not intend them to be bowled over by the taunts and the jeers of the Sanballats and the Tobias. No, these are words of challenge. They act as a goad to spur them on. In the day of small things, there should be dissatisfaction. that it is so. You ought not to be satisfied with the day of small things in your own spiritual experience. We think of the pilgrims on the way to the feasts in Jerusalem. They are described for us in Psalm 84 and the verse 7. Psalm 84 and verse 7. It said, they go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. Isn't this a wonderful thing? They are going from strength to strength, from virtue to virtue. They are changed from glory to glory, till at last they appear before God in Zion. We have a tremendous statement written concerning David in 2 Samuel chapter 5 and the verse 10. David went on and grew great, and the Lord God of hosts was with him. Now in the margin, against the phrase went on, it says he went on going and growing. David was not at a standstill in his spiritual experience. He went on going and growing. The man climbing the ladder, he uses each rung that he puts his foot on to reach an even greater height. And what you have learned of the Savior, use it to learn even more. Do not be satisfied with a little spiritual knowledge. We remember the Apostle Paul, full of years, having served the Lord for many years. This was his desire, that I might know him. That I might know him. Oh, let that be the desire of all our hearts. May we be pressing on in our own spiritual experience. And as a body of believers, as a congregation, we ought not to be satisfied with present attainments. The day of small things, it's a challenge to us to seek more ground for the Lord. We must not fall under the reproof of those in Joshua's time. In Joshua chapter 18 and the third verse, Joshua said unto the children of Israel, how long are ye slack to go to possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers hath given you? The possessing of the land of Canaan was not even half done. Seven tribes had still to receive their inheritance. But here's a people happy with what has been achieved to date. They are settled at Shiloh. They are not exerting themselves to fresh efforts to take the land for the Lord. Oh, how dissatisfied we should be, yearning that the gospel will reach many more hearts for Christ. How alarmed we should be when we think of the downgrade and the departure from the things of God of our time. We should be dissatisfied, distressed, that such is our state. We should be praying like Jabez in 1 Chronicles chapter 4 and verse 10, when he prayed, oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. Moses, he prayed in Psalm 90, in that closing verse of the psalm, let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. Establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. The day of small things should not only arouse dissatisfaction, it should awaken diligence. The parable of the talents teaches diligence in the day of small things, and that diligence leads on to greater things. In Matthew chapter 25, verses 22 and 3, we're reading about the one who had received two talents. He came and said, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me two talents. Behold, I have gained two other talents beside them. And his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. The man might have said, what does it matter? I have only got two talents. I do not have five like my neighbor. Sure, I might as well sit down and rest. It's not worth my while exerting myself. Oh, can't you see that he was diligent in the day of small things, and he was made ruler over many things? Though it is a day of small things in the work of God, on that account, let us redouble our efforts, labor all the more, seeking the advancement of the Lord's kingdom. Compelled by the spirit of John the Baptist, he must increase. Then lastly, we come to the comfort in the day of small things. There's much comfort in this text for the builders of the spiritual temple. Notice verse 10 what it says. For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel. What's happening here? Zerubbabel, he's viewed with the plumb line in his hand. And he's going round the building. And with the plumb line, he's giving it the final inspection. For it has reached conclusion. It has been built. It's finished. The undertaking has been accomplished. The work to us seems to make such slow progress. Hearts are hard like adamant stones. The enemies of the cross seem to triumph on every side. Though all of that is so, God, whose eyes run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are perfect toward him, he will bring the work of the gospel to a glorious conclusion. The church which the Lord loved and gave himself for will be built. The day of small things will be the day of great things. God can make the latter end to greatly increase. The grain of mustard seed will become a great tree. We do not despise the light of the dawn, for it shines more and more until we have full daylight. All the difficulties faced by these returning exiles, do you see in verse 7 how those difficulties are described? They are described like mountains. Who art thou, O great mountain? And here's the Lord's promise. Before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain. The mountains will become a plain. In Isaiah chapter 41, we have these comforting, cheering words. The Lord has not left us comfortless. Isaiah 41 and verse 14. Fear not, thou worm Jacob. Is there anything more despicable, despised, so weak as a worm? But the Lord says to his people, fear not, I will help thee, saith the Lord and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Behold, verse 15, I will make thee a new sharp threshing instrument, having teeth. Thou shalt thresh the mountains and beat them small. Thou shalt make the hills as chaff. In chapter 40 of Isaiah, verses 4 and 5, every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken. Oh, let the weak hands be strong. Let the faint-hearted take fresh courage. The temple of the Lord will be built, and the headstone will be brought forth with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. So let us then go forward, continue in the work, being steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as we know that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. Perhaps you have despised the day of gospel opportunity. The Lord to you is like the stone which the builders refused. He has been set at naught by yourself. There's no place in your heart for the Son of God. Oh, you cannot be right with God while you reject the only Redeemer, the chief cornerstone. Come to Him. Come to Him who is the rock of our salvation. Hide in His wounds. May the words of Acts chapter 13 and verse 41 never ring in your ears. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder, and perish. Do not despise the Christ of the cross, but turn with all your heart and cast yourself upon His mercy and His grace. May you seek Him this very morning while He may be found, and call upon Him while He is near. May this be the day of days, the day of your soul's salvation, the day when you will get right with God and start for that city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. May the Lord bless His word.